Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the best ways to learn the message of the New Testament is to study the sermons preached by the inspired men of God on the subject of Jesus Christ. This is what we propose to do in this study, and our text is from Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 16. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years he suffered their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations of the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Also, as it is written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Paul and Barnabas were on what we call their first missionary journey, and they had enjoyed success at Salamis in Cyprus. They had encountered Elymas when teaching Sergius Paulus at Paphos, and John Mark had turned back from going with them, and they were now in the city of Antioch of Pisidia, to be distinguished from Antioch of Syria, where the disciples were first called Christians, Acts 11:26. Paul went to the Jewish synagogue, as he often did, not to worship according to the Jewish system, but to take advantage of the opportunity afforded him to speak on the behalf of Christ. And his sermon can be divided into four major parts, and we shall consider it verse by verse. The first portion deals with a recounting of God's dealings with Israel until Christ. He addressed the people as men of Israel and called for their attention. He reminded them how God had chosen their forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and had exalted Israel in Egypt, eventually delivering them from Egyptian bondage. And he covered many years of Israelite history in just a few words. He did mention the 40 years wandering in the wilderness and their period of service under the judges, and the last of whom was Samuel. Then he turned his attention to the selection of their first king, Saul, and his rule for 40 years. He next mentioned David and how God intended to fulfill his will through David. God had made some great promises to Abraham. And the greatest of these was the promise that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, Genesis 12 and verse 3. And this blessing was to be through his seed, Genesis 22:18. And Paul says that seed referred to Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 16. David was the seed of Abraham, and Christ was of the seed of David. Paul also mentioned how God, through David's seed, would fulfill his promise of the Savior to come. And he identified that Savior as Jesus the Christ. Obviously, Paul only hit the high points in the recollection of Israel's history because their history was not his major theme. It is not that the portions he omitted are unimportant, but his focus was on Christ, and he was establishing the connection between Abraham and David and Christ and the promise that God had made. Christ was the expected one. He introduced the immediate circumstances before the coming of Christ with reference to the work of John the Baptist and his preaching of repentance, a preparatory message for the coming of the Lord. John fulfilled his own work in pointing people to another, even one whose shoes he was not worthy to loose. Then he turned his attention to the second part of his sermon to tell his hearers of this one of whom John spoke, the one who was of the seed of David, the one through whom salvation has come. In verses 27 through 37, Paul sets forth Jesus of Nazareth as the Savior and the Christ. Recalling the entire opposition Jesus faced in Jerusalem, he noted it was because they knew him not. That is, they failed to recognize him as the one of whom the prophets spoke, and how the people of Jerusalem, under the guidance and persuasion of their rulers, fulfilled the prophecies uttered years previously concerning the Messiah. He mentioned an irony of the actions of the enemies of Jesus because they did not realize that what they were doing was actually providing additional evidence that Jesus was the very one for whom they should have looked, the very one they denied. And even though no fault was found in him, Pilate turned him over to the wishes of the mob for him to be put to death. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, this having obvious reference to the crucifixion of Christ, the body of Jesus was taken down from the cross and buried. And then we come to a very critical part of Paul's sermon as he preached the resurrection of Christ, and how there were many witnesses of the reality of that event. And now, having established that truth, he returned to the promise God had made long ago, and announced that God hath fulfilled the same by the resurrection of Christ. He cites three Old Testament passages to provide scriptural evidence for his contention. One passage he mentioned specifically was a portion of the second psalm, a prophetic psalm, a psalm identifying Jesus as the Son of God, the begotten of God. Then he affirmed that Jesus was raised to die no more, and that through Jesus God's gift was given, calling them the sure mercies of David, mercies from God delivered through the seed of David. Quoting also from Isaiah 55 and verse 3, where Isaiah prophesied of the blessings God would give through David, he shows these promises and prophecies are now fulfilled in Christ. Paul quotes yet a third psalm, Psalm 15 and verse 10, where it was prophesied that God's Holy One would not see corruption, having reference, of course, to the fact that though he was killed and buried, he would be raised again, Acts chapter 2, verse 27 and verse 31. These prophetic words referred not to King David, for David had died and was buried, and his body saw corruption. He was not the one to be resurrected in fulfillment of God's promise of a Savior. But Christ was raised. He saw no corruption, because he came forth from the tomb the third day, fulfilling the promises and the prophecies of God. It is significant to note here that Paul, in speaking of Jesus as the Son of God and the fulfillment of God's promise, and how he is the resurrected one, used some of the very same prophetic passages of the Old Testament that Peter had used on Pentecost to prove the very same truth about Jesus. Peter and Paul preached the same message about the same man, Jesus, and proved the same truth and his identity regarding him. And this should forever dismiss the modernistic and the infidelic foolishness of a so-called Pauline and Petrine gospel. There is one gospel, and these inspired apostles preached it alike. The third part of Paul's sermon includes the inevitable conclusion from the points of history and the prophetic utterances fulfilled in them. Through this man, Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. In fact, only through this one is there forgiveness. Here is the message men need so desperately to hear and to believe. Christ is the way of forgiveness of sins. There is no other. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. The condition that must be met by mankind in order to lay hold of this forgiveness is belief in these things. Faith in the message regarding Christ. Paul preached justification by faith, just as he had written that same message in Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It is noteworthy that Paul neither speaks here nor writes any other place, justification by faith alone. Paul did not use the word only. He did not use the word alone. Men have added that to the Word of God. When we study the whole counsel of God, we learn the kind of faith that saves, which is a faith that demands and leads to obedience to the commands the Lord gives. Faith that saves includes doing what the Lord says do. How foolish for anyone to say he believes in Christ, but manages to turn his mind to think he need not obey what the Lord commands. He does remind the Jews of a point that doubtless was sticky with some of them, and that is that nobody can be justified by the law of Moses. The final portion of the sermon was designed to be persuasive to his hearers of the seriousness of their disposition with this truth concerning Christ. It consists of warnings against unbelief and the failure to do what is required. In verse 40, he mentioned to them a warning of which even the prophets had spoken. Please note how negative his words are at this point. Let us beware of those who claim to preach as did Paul, but who ridiculously contend that all of our preaching must be positive. If we followed their directions, we should fail to declare the whole counsel of God. Paul warned with strong words against unbelief. The warning was easily understandable. Unless they did have saving faith, they would perish. What an emphasis on personal responsibility to the gospel of Christ. Well, this is, friend, in a few words, the momentous message that Paul declared to his hearers in Antioch. This is the story of salvation, which embraced what God has done to save man and what man must do for his own salvation. And what is our reaction to the sermon about Christ? In Antioch, the Gentiles sought to hear him more. The Jews went away, but the next week raised such opposition to this truth that Paul said he had judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life, Acts 13:46. Some believed and obeyed. Others did not. And when one does hear, believe, and obey, he enjoys salvation. In fact, until one hears, believes, and obeys, he remains lost. But what shall your response be to these truths preached by the Apostle Paul concerning Christ? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.